We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Light Years Emergency Podcast. Sam, what the fuck is going on?
I'm so excited right now. I've wanted to do an emergency pod for so long, but they've been so boring. There's never been a reason to do an emergency pod. Here we are. We got real drama. We got.
Oh, this is way more than I expected. I think... I'm not going to act like I don't have any type of sources. So I'm always the eternal optimist.
You're Sam. Pulling it out. You're full of it. Yep. I know you know.
The Light Years podcast
never lies.
It's you know, that is factual. But this is crazy. I did not expect it to blow up like this in this fashion. I thought whatever was happening in the locker room would just stay in the locker room. But apparently Draymond, like a lot of fans, are tired of this act, are tired of Kevin Durant just doing whatever he wants, the organization letting him do, and it's not even a bad, KD's right? Do you agree with me? KD was right. He should have gotten the ball.
Yeah, so let's start from the beginning here. So
yeah,
first off, the play.
Let's cut it up. I'm too amped.
Yeah, let's start with the play. Draymond took the rebound and went. I know Draymond wasn't looking for the shot. Draymond thought he had guys filling the lanes. He was hoping to, you know, dish it to KD or Clay, whoever was open, and they'd take the last shot. KD wanted the ball immediately so he could walk it up. It's kind of the perfect example of the two different styles. You know, the Warriors had played that one way before KD came. You know, everyone runs, everyone fills a lane, ball movement. KD is more of a hero ball kind of guy. It was kind of a funny way for it to manifest itself, but that happens. 9 out of 10 times, they figure out what to do in that situation, and whether they make or miss it, they get a good shot, you know? So I didn't think it was that big a deal, but the aftermath, KD was visibly upset he didn't get it, and then they get into it, and Draymond just unloads on him.
It was not about the play.
Buildup. You know the first thing I thought of? I thought of D. West last year saying, "You don't know what went on behind the scenes. This wasn't easy."
This is kind of Draymond looking at Kevin Durant and saying, like, why? Like, why are we doing this for you? Like, Draymond's, and whether he'd be right or wrong.
Okay, we'll break this down. You're too in the weeds. What do you mean by why are we doing this for you?
So Draymond's essentially saying, hey, Steph is out. This is my team. In short, right? This is my offense. This is my defense. I was the guy that was here before, right? This is up to me to decide what we're going to do. I'm sure that's what he was thinking. And KD, rightfully so, is like, hey, I'm the best player on the floor right now. It's not even close. Give me the ball. I'm going to handle this, right? And
see, I think it's a little it's a little more than that. I think Draymond thinks, you know, we're the Warriors. We play one way. We move the ball. I'm as important as you are, you know? It's not like Draymond saying I'm the decision maker. It's just like, I got the ball. I'm not deferring to you like I'm, you know, J.R. Smith in Cleveland. I'm, you know, I'm just as, you know, I will find you. You get open, I will find you.
So it's one of those, it's one of those things where I think the Warriors, the players, and the organizations have a difference between how they want to treat Kevin Durant. I think the players, I think Kevin Durant wants to be that central figure like LeBron. The players are saying, and I think it's mostly Draymond. I think the other players care too, but not as much as Draymond. And they're saying like, hey, no, this is not our style. We want to do essentially what you're saying. And the organization on the other side is saying like, hey, we're going to do whatever KD wants, right? We're just going to give him to him, and you get it.
And it's, I get KD, both sides of it. Those dudes won a title without him. They beat KD's OKC team. They came within a shot of going back-to-back without him. They wanted,
people forget.
They wanted to get KD because they knew with KD, we have a chance to be the greatest team ever. We can rack up rings. People are going to look at us like Showtime, like the 60s Celtics. You know, like one of those teams where you look in the history books, you're like, dude, they won like 7 titles in 8 years or something crazy like that. But in KD's mind, KD's like, you guys didn't win. You needed me. Yep. And I think that's what it comes down to. I'm positive Draymond does not think they need KD. He thinks KD makes him better. He thinks KD makes him better, but he thinks they could win a title without KD. Because in his mind, he did it. I'm sure Steph and Clay feel the same way too. Hey, we're better with KD. He's maybe the best player on the team, but we can do it without you. So we're not gonna bend over for you.
And I think this type of stuff happens in year one. Right. This is year one stuff. This is not year three. We're about to win our third title in a row type of stuff. This is year one. We don't know what we're doing with each other type of thing. So it's been that easy where it hasn't come up. And now
I kind of disagree. I think this is disease and more stuff. I think in year one, remember that Memphis game where Draymond lit into KD and he just took it? Because I think in year one, KD's like, I'm just going to fit in. You know,
yeah, but here's the thing, Kate. I don't think KD got that mad. I think KD was just kind of like, yeah, Draymond, like, screw off or whatever it is, right? I think Draymond just kept going at him. I don't think KD cared that much. I think he would have been okay with it, but I think Draymond just got sick of it. Like, it was just like 3 years of buildup of like, yo, right, we're doing this, and this for you. You're signing one and ones. You're talking about going to Chase Center and getting, you know, like, you know, athletic posts, and then you're still kind of sitting here and saying you don't know what you're doing. Like, that's what you're doing? You know what I mean? Like, you've been doing that, and you're not going to tell us what is going on? Because
so let's go into the,
you know,
let's go into
KD
the
not saying what's going on.
Let's go into the contract thing. I think that's a bigger part of it than people think.
That's the biggest part. That's the biggest part.
So right now the Warriors don't know what KD's going to do. He's signing one and ones. Meanwhile, Steph signed a 5-year. Clay,
no trade clause.
Clay wants, no, he doesn't have a trade. No trade.
Yeah, I know he doesn't have one. No trade clause.
There you go. Clay would sign a 5-year if they offered him, you know, going rate for his services.
Correct.
Right now, but they're not. Draymond would also, and they're not. They're not because they want a supermax KD,
yes,
and then they,
yes,
want to squeeze Clay and Draymond because no one can afford to pay.
Aggregate. Sorry.
But I mean, it's the reality. Paying four guys that much money, two of them being $200 million deals, no one can afford that, not even the Warriors. And they've made it very clear they want to keep, you know, KD and Steph are the only untouchables. Remember Lacob said that a year ago? The only untouchables are KD and Steph. I don't know why that didn't get more headlines. I think most people just kind of took it as like, well, yeah, that makes sense. They're the two best players and like they're on a different level. But that's not going to play well when you're Clay. Clay knows KD leaves, he gets a bigger offer. If KD stays, he might have to look at other teams if he wants money, if it's about the money. You know what I mean? So I think it's – and the worst of it is he won't sign that deal. He's taking these one-and-ones. Now, I know he can't sign a five-year until next year, but he's keeping the door open in a way that they're not. Those two – would
yes,
si- those two would sign yes. if they got offered the same money. It's basically let's put it this way: if the Warriors and Lakers offered Klay the same money, Klay's going to stay. Same with Draymond. Do we know that with KD? Do they know it?
That's all of it, right? They are treating KD that way because it's – and are they wrong? That's the other thing. Are they wrong? You can kind of put it back on us and be like, yo,
no, let's go to their perspective. Would you do the same with KD? They didn't have to. They didn't have to recruit KD. People say they were soft to, but they sacrificed for that. Steph could have averaged 30 the last 4 years. He didn't because he, you know, get a better player. Let, you know, team over individual. We're going to have the greatest team of all time. He could have run it back with the same team, probably won another title at some point, but he wouldn't have won, like, you know, the potential to win five in a row. Klay and Draymond both sacrificed stats to make the team better as well. They didn't have to do that. And look around the rest of the league. Not a lot of guys are willing to do that. They're willing to team up as long as they still get their numbers and it's on their terms. So I think
they're not wrong.
They're not wrong. At the same time, let's try to get into KD's perspective on this. KD thinks he's the best player on earth. He might be. He's certainly in the same tier as LeBron and Steph. And I don't care what anyone says. In 2018, he's not, you know, significantly worse than any of them. He's in that tier, and he can certainly play better than them.
He's
on
better than LeBron right now. It's not even close.
But no one treats him as such, and I think that drives him nuts. He said it in a Zach Lowe piece where he said, you know, I could dominate the ball and average, you know, all these assists, but I wouldn't get to show my all-around game. It was kind of a veiled shot at guys like LeBron and Westbrook who, like, put up the triple-double numbers but don't play defense, don't work off ball, don't do any of that stuff.
Here's the thing with KD. If he's going to – here's the thing that's always been the issue with KD. If you're going to go in on something, if you're going to be that guy and take those shots, do it. Go 110% and be that person. But he doesn't, right? He wants to play all the sides. Steph, I don't know how he is, right, how he truly feels, but he goes all into, hey, I'm a sacrifice. I don't care what people say. And then he has his own fans that come out of it. And Klay, same thing. Draymond, same thing. With KD, it's like, I want to be this guy. And then on the opposite side, I also want to be, you know, the guy that LeBron stands love and the guy that everyone else loves. You can't have everyone love you, man. That's not how this works.
Like, he most definitely knows the right basketball play, and he could recognize, like, when he's doing stuff off ball where he's not getting stats, like, he's helping the team and he's showing an all-around game. But at the same time, he sees people just praise triple-doubles and certain statistical accomplishments, and he's sitting here going, I could do that. I could do that just as well as that guy. Is that what you want me to do? Is that what I have to do to get the praise? You know what I mean? So he's fighting that internal battle, which is kind of the crux of KD. He doesn't know what he wants. You know, I don't think he's a bad guy, and I certainly don't think it's a malicious thing where he's like looking to screw someone over. I literally think he kind of bounces back and forth and doesn't know what he wants.
And so let's look at it from a Draymond perspective. Draymond is the guy that also recruited KD and great friends with KD and brought him to the Bay Area and say, hey, this is what we can do from you, A, B, C, and D. From everything that we know, the Warriors have fulfilled A, B, C, D, and E, right, for Kevin Durant, right? So what is it more in Draymond's mind that KD wants? Do you want to be the face of the team? Great, we'll put you in front of the Chase Center statue. We'll put you in front of the posters.
But put him on the front of it, but is he the face?
I know, right? So then is that the thing? And if that's the thing, like you're saying, KD's not being malicious about it. It's just the way you are as a player and as a person doesn't endear yourself the same way. But it's not his fault. It's not his fault, but it's wearing on the players to where they're like, dude, if that's affecting how you are and how you feel about the team, what the hell more do we have to do here? Right? And is that, if that's the reason why you keep signing one-on-ones and aren't committing long-term, then what is the point of all of this? Just say you're leaving. And I'm not saying like just say and come out and say, Kevin Durant, hey, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be the Warrior anymore. But why are we operating under this shroud of darkness, which is kind of what like LeBron did with Cleveland?
It's
which
like
is
walking
fair.
Up. Yeah.
Fair. But Golden State is not Cleveland. Lakeup is not Dan Gilbert. So why are we they getting treated?
Steph's not Kyrie.
Kyrie
has a better handle. No. what I was gonna say is you're right. Like on some level they're sitting back going to we win. We won 73. We won a title. We like you. We want you here, but we don't need you. Cleveland needed LeBron. We don't need you, you know? But I really do think it just comes more back to the money. Draymond and Clay both don't know.
They both took a discount last time. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, they both signed before they blew up too. So, but I mean, the reality is they could have bet on themselves and made a little more. The bigger thing is, if I was in their shoes, I'd want to know, am I going to get that offer from the Warriors or do I have to start looking elsewhere? Because that's what normal people would do in that situation, right? You want to know if, you know, is this going to be home for the next 5-6 years or should I start looking, you know, at other situations? And they can't know until the KD thing is resolved. That's the reality of it.
And here's the thing, would you say the most likely thing that happens after the season, if they win a championship, is that KD signs another 1-1?
Probably. I don't know that he's going to sign the 5-year. I mean, it's early. But yeah, I mean, the most likely is he signs a 1, and then the Warriors have some decisions to make. because, I mean, the reality is Clay's going to get a max. If he wants the max, someone's offering it to him next summer. There's too much money. He's too good. There's just not enough guys for the amount of money there is.
But I do think that they'll give Clay what he needs to get in order to sign the deal, right? Even if the Warriors end up lowballing him and Clay comes back and says, hey, I got the max from the Lakers. What are you going to do? The Warriors are going to say, hey, we'll give you more than the Lakers. Sign with us and that'll happen. The bad thing is, and I think Draymond sees this on the wall, is that the Warriors are going to choose Clay over Draymond. They're always going to choose KD over both. And then it gets stuck with Draymond. Here's your, what, like 4-year, I don't know, $80 million contract.
And when you consider the fact of how much he's sacrificed, his body, like, I mean, he plays the style that's, he's the most likely to get injured. He just is. You know, like Clay's getting a max no matter what. Like there's very little scenarios where Clay could injure himself to a point where he still doesn't get a max next summer. Draymond isn't that guy. You know, KD obviously is that guy too. So Draymond's kind of the one who it's almost like an NFL player holding out because they're like, man, I could take a hit and then this money could not be there. So that's... I really think that's what it is, but let's get back to the play because we went off on major tangents. How do we think they react to this? Do we think it's going to cause issues this week, next month, basically this season?
Honestly, I don't think it matters. Like I kind of feel like this is not overblown. This is just the perfect amount of blown. Pause. But it is something that I feel like once Steph steps back on the court, which is, I think, comes end of the week, whatever, that it just blows over. I think it's just going to be something that will be managed because at the end of the day, KD's mature. I don't think he's the one that's going off on Draymond as much as Dre is going off on him. Draymond is going to be like, hey, listen, we're going to figure this out anyway. It's all about winning. And I think Steph is really the guy here that's going to piece everything back into place. Not that I think it's fallen apart, but they're just too good, right? Like, unless I hear that Clay comes out and is starting to go on his own little Draymond little tantrum, there's only one Draymond, and you can handle that in the locker room. When we're talking about three explosive personalities. Maybe Cousins become that guy. I don't know. But if that happens, then it's wild. But I
Shout out Boogie being the mediator last night.
You still have Steph. You still have Livingston. You still have Iguodala, right? Like,
right.
Those aren't going to – like, they're not going to make it worse. And once Steph comes back, it'll be fine. You know, Steph would have given that ball up real quick last night too. Believe that. He would.
Steph would have ran the lane and Draymond would have passed ahead.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think this is what it comes down to. This will probably be blown over, but having this much talent with that much money, with all these options, I mean, this stuff happened with the 90s Bulls. There's famous stories about Pippen yelling, pay me or I won't play, at Jerry Krause, the GM. I think it's a lot more about, you know, what's going forward. Is this thing going to be together? Are we done at the end of this year? Than it is about any specific play.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think suspended Draymond? Because Steve Kerr said it was his decision.
I don't think it was Steve's decision. Steve doesn't act with an iron fist. He does when it comes to back screens, but not with discipline like this. I think it was organizational. I think Myers was involved. I think ownership was probably involved. And I think Steve did exactly what he has to do. He has to deal with these players every day. He's like, hey, this is my decision. Draymond,
I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. I actually don't like it that much that they did that, because it kind of, it's like if you, it's like a Twitter, it's like a tweet, right, from 2010, right, and you say something that you shouldn't have said in today's climate, and you publicly apologize, that kind of blows it up, right? Instead of just ignoring it and having it, you know, die down, they're kind of saying like, hey, this is an admission of what's going on right now. We're just going to suspend Draymond. By doing that, you kind of put a focus on that particular issue. And that's the thing I have an issue with. It's like, hey,
from the organization's perspective. We think, obviously, priority number one is appeasing KD because they want to keep him. And that's fair to a degree. I think priority number two was they worry about Draymond going off the deep end. It's always been a thing with this team, back to 16. And they know that they can go at him a little harder than they go to other guys. I don't know if it's the right decision. I wouldn't have done it, but I think it was about just kind of like, knock it off. We're not doing this like, I'm mad about who's staying, who's going. We're just playing these games. And
is
that's
going to work?
Matters.
Is that going to work with someone like Draymond?
I don't know.
What do you think Draymond said?
Do you think
we're going to suspend you?
Do you think it makes it better if they do nothing? Because I think he'll just keep talking.
I mean that's
he doesn't
true.
Want to it, lose game checks.
They're not going to suspend him more than a game, but you also kind of, I don't know, man. Like, it's their organization's not taking sides. They're not saying, hey, we
they're taking sides. That's the thing. They're very clearly taking sides.
Yeah. I take it back as I said it. I'm not hedging here. They are. And you know what?
And the spin is going to be that we don't conduct our
championships.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in the business of trying to win championships, whose side do you take? It's not close.
I mean, honestly, if they have – if KD signs a five-year with Steph's – well, I guess Steph has four more years left. So either – but you have them. It'll be tougher without certain guys, but you're pretty much always a contender with those two. You just have to not, you know, you just have to make the right moves around the roster. So I get it from the perspective of we want to win as many rings as possible. You have to go with priority A. It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be interesting. I don't think it's going away. I think we're going to get some more of this, and I think they hardlined
it
with this. I think they hardlined it with the suspension as saying, you know, we're not tolerating this. Go complain to your, you know, your wife or girlfriend at home, but don't do this stuff in the locker room.
I love it. This is what the Warriors needed. David West said something about the locker room. I mean, I guess, but this is like the drama that the Warriors have been without, and we've seen for the Lakers, right? I mean, like, the Warriors aren't the Spurs. You know what I mean? Like, they've got Draymond.
Kerr wants
got
them
KD.
To be the Spurs. But they're they not
are
the not. Spurs.
They are not. Yeah. Like if it was Steph and Clay and KD, then yeah, probably they'd be the Spurs. But there's Draymond, and that's why they're greater than the Spurs ever was, right?
Right.
Because of that. And so this is what happens, like, for people, I guess, that are like really like shitting their pants or whatever. Like, this is kind of what happens with when you win a lot and you have a lot of explosive personalities. You get to the top talent. Because of that. Yeah. You get there because people are all fucking like wild, right? Because Draymond is the way he is and KD's the way he is. So you become great. And then sometimes shit happens.
All right, man. Well, that's good. We're done with this emergency episode.
Nice.
Bye.